facebook.com/Alex.
Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. Coast to coast, all the nooks and crannies in between. Water cooler buzz on the overnight highway at its best. And you can jump in and be a part of the action. I know we have people listening to us as well, and a big shout out to all the people in China, in New Zealand, Bangladesh, down under. That's for you, Jack. He's out back playing with the kangaroos in between. welcome. Here we are, March, whittling away. I guess we're in the second week. Boy, time flies, doesn't it? And this hour could be called upon further review. Obama and the swing on the military tribunals at Gitmo. The NPR chief, Vivian Schiller, saying, Juan Williams firing, I guess it was handled badly. Gee, I wonder why she changed her mind about that. And also this senator from Nevada, John Ensign, he had a death grip on wanting to be reelected. He got a taste of what it was like to be a senator from Nevada since 2000. And before that, he was a congressman. He didn't want to let go of Washington. Unfortunately, he fooled with the wrong man's wife. And it sunk his battleship, if you know what I mean. Eventually, the ethics committee would have got him, and they still might. I think Ensign decides to publicly resign, feeling as though, geez, if I do this, the Justice Department drops their investigation, no federal charges, so perhaps the ethics thing will just go away. Yeah. That's when you tell the kids to dress up nice, look good for the camera, and no, you're not going to JCPenney's to get some portraits, but you're going to stand with your father and look like we're a happy family for the pictures. You know, I always feel sorry for the kids when that happens. Why do they bring the kids into it? It's one thing to trot out the good wife, but it's another thing when you mix the kids in the middle of it. I just do not get it. Anyway, before we jump to the military tribunals and Gitmo, let's talk about Robert Gates for a second. The Secretary of Defense goes to Afghanistan for a couple of days, is so filled with emotion, he can't help but let the tears fall out of his eyes when he's talking to the troops and really thanks them for what they've done, for the sacrifices. Because this war, that to so many doesn't seem like a war, because there's not sacrifices, there's not... It's not an old-fashioned war, let's say that, where you were going after the communists, and we're going to stomp them out. We're going after Hitler. We're going after, you know, XYZ. It's, you know how you know that? I've been speaking to a lot of children lately. When you go into these classrooms and you start to talk about current events, it's not that they don't get the Middle East thing, depending on their age, but they don't really get the war thing. They don't really understand that unless they know somebody in their neighborhood, somebody in their family who is serving. So I really respect Gates for just, I think, being genuine in front of the troops. Now, here, having said that, no surprise, 2014 will not work. Even though Hamid Karzai says, oh, yes, and we'll be up and running, all the training for our military and for our police forces, the equivalent of our police forces, we're ready to roll. We'll be good. 2014. No. Gates says it's just not going to happen. He didn't put it in those exact words, but he says that he's beginning to negotiate with the Afghan government for U.S. troops to stay beyond 2014 if the Afghans agree. Part of the problem, though, has been the civilian casualties with the drones and whatnot. And this has made the relationship even that much more thorny. Me personally, Hamid Karzai, I think, is riddled with corruption, and that's a giant part of the problem, but he's the guy in charge. So you have General Petraeus pulling together his thoughts with Gates and then talking to the troops, and there's no question it's beyond 2014. One oops moment did happen when Petraeus met Gates on the tarmac. Apparently there was a joke about the tensions in the North African country that really weren't supposed to be on camera, weren't supposed to be picked up by a microphone. So Petraeus was shaking Gates' hand, and the general, they say, could be heard saying, well, I think you have a bigger plane than normal. You're going to launch some attacks on Libya or something? Gates laughs and says, yeah, exactly. Don't they know about microphones? Don't they get it? Don't they know they're going to get nailed for that? Anyway, here's what Gates had to say about thanking the troops and what they've done.
I really just wanted to come by and thank you for your service, and through you, thank your families. You all keep me up at night. I think a lot about the people out here and what you're having to put up with, and the conditions you live in, and sacrifices you make, and friends you lose.
Yeah, and that's the deal here. How many lives have been lost, and what ultimately will happen at the end of this thing, right? We're not going to solve that riddle in a show. And you know how I feel about Afghanistan. Yeah, I really, in the beginning, it's either full force, full throttle, blow them up, move them out, or get out. And that didn't happen. And, you know, the philosophy is engage the people, get the people to trust you. But yet when we talk to Afghanistan journalists, he says, well, the problem is the Taliban talks to them in the mosque, speaks their language, gives them money, gives them what they need. They don't get the TV thing. You can't go on TV and apologize because most of them don't have televisions. Having said that, by the way, Hamid Karzai did accept Gates' apology for those civilian deaths. All right, the big thing, though, Gitmo, had to be a tough one for the president to cop to. But no way was Congress going to pony up the money to bring the detainees to U.S. soil. That wasn't happening. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, hell no, he was not going to be tried in the United States. But there was a little charade that, oh, yes, maybe in New York, and wouldn't that be great because we could do this, and it'd be so close to where Ground Zero was and the whole theatrics of it all, that he would pay the price for what happened. That play was never opening. Never. Had no prayer. Spider-Man had a better chance when people were falling off of the scaffolding. So that wasn't going to happen. Finally realizing, oops, time to wave the white flag, the administration says, okay, after 2 years of icing this whole thing, military trials are on, baby, at Gitmo. We got about 80 or so we're going to try. Was this the right move? Of course it was the right move. 800-259-5791.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metals holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Reality check. There are many so-called health products coming out that are here today but will be gone tomorrow. They're fads, they're hype, and a lot of gimmick. Life Change Tea is no fad. We've been around for years and we've been slowly growing, and our products have attracted loyal customers. Why? Because our products work. Cleansing your body, losing weight, more energy, and better overall health. And you might ask, says who? Our customers say. A company shows its colors with how many people reorder the product. So don't be afraid. We're the real deal. Log on to GetTheTea.com and read all the testimonies. In fact, log on and order at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. There's no call centers, just a friendly operator. 928-308-0408. Once again, 928-308-0408.
I like to see you right across the floor. I like to do the thing.
So coming up, we're going to check the mail, plus we have a daily salute. And this is a good one. Sad what happened to a kid just playing sports, but boy, did the school turn things around as fast as they could. We'll get to that, but first let's go to Jerry in Florida. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to make a comment about a couple of things. One, Gitmo.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize there's about 70 inmates in Gitmo that will never be tried, whether either by military tribunals or by American civilian courts. They just won't be. And they can't be released back into their country because they, under U.S. law, we can't send anybody back that would be dealt harmfully by the country we send them to.
Well, what happens is, let me interrupt you for a second. You know this. They try to send them back. They do. You know that. But a lot of times they get rejected because the country says, no, we don't want them.
Precisely. But what would happen is if you close Gitmo, you would have to bring those people into the United States. And you cannot import someone in the United States without a charge. That means they would have to be released into the general population.
That's right.
Back from that would be enormous.
I agree.
Now,
I agree.
As far as Afghanistan is concerned, I grew up in Pakistan as a boy. I'm not Pakistani. I'm European. But I know the country. You cannot win the war in Afghanistan until you resolve the issue of safe havens in Pakistan. This is right in your face. It's 2 inches from your nose. Look, 2001, December, George Bush instituted a bombing program as part of Operation Anaconda against all the Taliban in Afghanistan. That operation continued from December 2001 to March 2002. They eviscerated the Taliban. Everybody, all of them fled to Pakistan, and it took them 6 years, 6 years, to get back into a position where they could influence events in Afghanistan. So we did it. Yes, we did it mercilessly without regard for collateral damage, because from our point of view, it was revenge. Now we're just fighting a war, which you cannot win because the enemy can always skip across the border, and he is impervious. The other point you have in Afghanistan, you have five major tribes. You make an ally of one, you make an enemy of the other four. Ain't gonna work.
Good point, Jerry. I didn't think of that. We know about the safe havens. We've talked about that because everybody we've had on, from Frank Gaffney to Jeb Babin to Jeff Atticott, all terrorism experts of different sorts, say the same exact thing that you're saying and that you know kind of firsthand, that absolutely that's the problem. The safe havens come over across the border, do the damage, run back, and you're covered. And that's the problem. Pakistan, which is why Hillary Clinton, remember, there was the push to, well, let's make nice with Pakistan. Let's get in with Pakistan. You know, these are our friends, the Pakistani people, and let's do something here. And so far, nothing's happened.
I have to give Hillary Clinton credit for one thing. In a moment of exasperation, she addressed the generals of the Pakistan Army and the head of the ISI, and it says, I have to suspend, you know, my disbelief that you don't know where Osama bin Laden is.
Yep. Yeah.
But you are not cooperating with us. And look, ironically, my sister, who was born in Pakistan at that time, went to school in a town called Quetta. Quetta is in the Balochistan, in the southwestern part of Pakistan. That is where the Taliban infrastructure is. The Al-Qaeda structure is in Waziristan in the north, but they are truly, in this thing, insignificant. There's no Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, no. It is the Taliban, supported by the Pakistan ISI, operating through Quetta in southwestern Pakistan. This is where all the problems are. Helmand Province, all those areas where the British were and lost all the soldiers there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of it. And then as far as this head of the NPR, all she is trying to do is protect her $635,000 a year plus about $150,000 a year benefits. That's all she is trying to do now.
I agree, Jerry. You're a great caller. Call us again. I agree. Vivian Schiller, by the way, as I said when I opened up and Jerry was paying attention, I said upon further review, one of the things we were going to talk about is NPR, the head of NPR, who's a little bit nervous, as he says she's trying to protect the serious cash. Can you imagine? That is huge money to run NPR. But regardless of whatever her compensation is, she blew it with Juan Williams. She did. It was an ugly mess what happened there. And because of the blowback, and that continued, it crashed into the budget and the idea that a big chunk of funding would go away. Then you know what that is, telethon after telethon after telethon. And as Jerry says, that's her money, because she's not going to get that kind of salary. So all of a sudden, maybe on Cena upon further review, I didn't really quite handle it right. Don in Wyoming, we got them lined up. Go ahead, it's your shot. Hello.
Hey, Kate, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, got a nice little slush storm going on here tonight.
Oof.
Anyway, by the way, you might mention to our buddy Mark in New York that, can you still hear me by chance?
We got you loud and clear.
You might mention to him that, Wyoming passed a, concealed, gun law this past week. And, that you can carry a gun around without a permit. I mean, you got to own the gun, obviously, you know, to have the right registration with it, et cetera. But you can carry it around, in, you know, inside of a coat or whatever. And so my question to you is, do you think that's going to deter crime?
Say that again. Do I think it's going to what?
Deter crime.
By being able to have a concealed carry in Wyoming?
No. You don't have to have a permit to carry it. In other words, all you got to do is buy a gun, be legal to buy a gun, and you can carry it around with you inside, you know, concealed. Because, you know, most states you don't, you're not allowed to do that. So, you know, you can be carried in your handbag. A woman can have a gun in her handbag, et cetera. And
yeah.
Of course, you know, a lot of people, you know, Mark's brought this up a lot of times that, you know, if there's guns out there, then maybe criminals will think twice. But, you know, and I talked to a couple of the cops in our town there about it. And, you know, and I said, what do you guys think about this thing? And he says, well, all this does is give us a better excuse to frisk everyone when we pull them over or whatever.
Right, so, look for the guns. I don't know. Do I think that's a crime deterrent? I don't know. I mean, probably not, actually. I'm going to say no. Here's what I think. Because I'm for gun rights, even if I don't have a gun, I say you have the right to defend yourself. And so if somebody comes in and breaks into your house and they're armed, hey, and now it's a shootout. And you know what you're doing? You got that gun. You got a chance. You have no chance if you don't have a gun.
Well, you know, and that's the theory behind passing this law. But at the same time, Kate, let me give you an example. Okay, let's say I'm at a convenience store. Some guy comes in and robs the convenience store at gunpoint. Okay, and I pull my gun out on him, and then there ends up being a big shootout or whatever. I end up dead, and he ends up dead. Over what? He's going to rob the store of $100? You know, the thing that I've realized, Kate, is that crime doesn't pay for the most part. Unless you're robbing, you know, millions of dollars from armored cars and banks like they do in the movies or something like that, you know? I mean, so most of these criminals, it's petty cash and petty things that they're robbing, you know? And to risk your life over that is, you know, is, I don't know if it's a smart move or not, but...
Yeah, but desperation. But, when you're a meth head and you want to get a fix, a lot of times you talk to the cops, they'll tell you that's part of the problem. A lot of it is drugs because somebody needs the drugs, so they're willing to do whatever they have to do, even if it's a minuscule amount. Plus, okay. Thanks, Don. Plus, the other thing is, I'll disagree with you on in the movies when you see the banks. Oh, no. The statistics are not great when it comes to banks. Actually, 80% of bank robbers get away with the loot, and sometimes they are never caught. Meet you on the flip side.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-sitosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10. Or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with with two black Berkey Elements for only $209, and the Berkey Guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh! We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
You didn't know what to say. I'll come at you today. Can't get out your own way. Well, hold on.
Upon further review, Obama changes his mind on the military tribunals at Gitmo, of course, after a two-year freeze. Also, Senator John Ensign decides, ooh, I don't want to risk it. I think I'm going to bail on this political thing for now, with the Ethics Committee breathing down my back. Plus, let's face it, a Republican candidate who in the polls would run against me would crush me in the primary, and I'm not going to get the gig anyway. So why am I holding out? So he decides to bail. And then Vivian Schiller, the head of NPR, suddenly, with funding being an issue because of the budget, says, oh, I mishandled Juan Williams situation. And for those of you who don't know, he'd been at NPR forever and a day, and he would be on Fox. He would be on O'Reilly's show. He would come on, and I thought he was rather good. He would go on the shows, and he's liberal, but he'd be there on many conservative shows, and if anything, it gave NPR publicity. But then once he said he got a little bit nervous when he was on the planes, you know, with people that might be dressed and looking like they could be somebody that might do something on the planes, meaning they were Islamic jihadists, possibly, just based on the way they looked. And he didn't quite say it that way, by the way. He was much more politically correct about it. He got nailed. Then that was it. Then they took his knees out. Oh, forget it. Too much focus on Fox, whatever. We don't care about the publicity. Blah, 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 blah. So they handled it badly, to say the least. And now, with the threat of the funding going, suddenly, yeah, we made a mistake by the way I did that. Before we go to the rest of the calls, we're going to do that, I promise. We're going to get to you right away, Sam and Rick and Bill. Before we do that, just quickly, sad, sad story about the 16-year-old last week who collapsed after scoring a winning basket. Remember that story? He played for Fenville High School, little town in Holland, Michigan. Made big news. He was a star player. His name was Wes Leonard, and he died from a heart problem. And this is a basketball team that was unbeaten and pretty highly ranked in the state, and people knew the kid anyway. I mean, it's a sad story, no matter if he was the water boy who came in and took the winning shot. It's just terrible. So now in a big turnaround, the team is at a loss. I mean, they are mourning this kid. They grew up with him. They played with him. So many of those boys played together in league after league and all that stuff, even the pickup games and then in the actually playing for the school. So they returned to the court on Monday, and they won a state tournament game. How about that? It kind of turned into a tribute for Wes Leonard, and I got to give it to them. They beat Lawrence High 65-54 in the district opener. How about a hand for those guys? Woo! Yeah, they're 21-0, and they decided they weren't going to play. They couldn't decide what to do. They talked to the family of Leonard's family, and the family said, of course, they wanted them to play. There was a sellout. 3,500 people were there, and wow, good for them. People wore black T-shirts honoring him during the pregame with his name and all that kind of stuff, and good for those kids, because that's got to be tough. They had to have heavy hearts on that court, even if they were a really good team. They're missing this kid, to be certain. Sam in Montreal, you get the first crack this segment. Hello.
How you doing, gorgeous?
Good. How about you?
Let's see. Lovely, but we had a foot of snow today.
Wow, a foot of snow. You didn't have to go to work, right?
Well, I get to work by metro. Subway.
And the subway was still going, no problems?
Right.
Of course.
We don't have any outdoor stations. And the gas really shot up. It is now, and I'll put it to you, it is now $5.40 a gallon.
Wow, $5.40, that's steep.
Yeah, that's in the province of Quebec. I don't know about the rest of Canada, so.
Mm.
But anyway, National Public Radio, from all I've heard from, is it run by the federal government?
Well, they get a lot of funding. The Public Broadcasting Corporation gets a lot of funding from the government, a huge chunk of funding. And individual stations and whatnot, they hold drives. You know, they'll beg for money, basically, with telephones
and
whatnot.
Yeah, right now the PBS stations where, I get one from Burlington, Vermont, and one from Plattsburgh, New York, and they're showing either lectures or, oldies rock and roll concerts, and that's, what they call pledge drives. So it sounds like the same thing.
Right. And so what's happening is with, of course, the lack of money in the U.S. with this budget, with the deficit situation, this crazy budget, the Republicans are saying, let's go after NPR. We need funding cuts. I mean, let's cut this. Why are the taxpayers funding the public radio network? Why are we doing that?
And what is the, I hate to sound dumb, and I apologize for this question, what is the purpose of NPR?
Well, what NPR would tell you is that it's public broadcasting and it's the better programming and what the things that they're addressing and it's not really nonpartisan, but that you're trying to you're you're giving programs a more intellect, they wouldn't say intellectual, but that's what they think. It's a more intellectual edge. And that with better programming and more coverage, let's say, even in Washington, D.C. and whatever. And the journalists, the top drawer journalists and whatnot. That's what they're saying. I mean, that's what they would say. That's what they would tell you. That it's quality programming
right.
that we need in the United States. And that's why you fund it. So, and funding makes up about 10% of NPR's budget, by the way. The rest comes from listeners and philanthropic people and companies, and they get their money, but it's still,
yeah.
but it still is 10% is still 10% that they need.
Right, right. And before I was cut off last night, I was telling you a story about Stephen, what happened to him on Saturday.
Uh huh.
Okay, like I said, he was walking the synagogue, and next thing you know, about a block from where he was, the streets blocked off. Everyone's looking like, what's going on? Someone had left a duffel bag there.
Nice.
And in Israel, you know, how, you know,
yeah.
any little thing that looks remotely suspicious, they call them the bomb squad. So they brought in the bomb squad, and it seemed to be, it was a bunch of students from Hebrew U playing a joke. Hebrew University in Jerusalem.
Right, so it was nothing.
Yeah, but at the same time, the army didn't find it very funny.
Yeah.
You know, it was like they were trying to think they were funny. Last he had heard, they'd gone to the dean went to the students, and that's all he's heard. But I wouldn't be surprised if right now they're packing their bags and on the next flight out. If that's a
yeah.
different, you know, but.
Oh,
he,
yeah.
He didn't
Not
find
funny.
It. Yeah. I mean, someone came up to him and said, it's probably Americans playing a joke. He said, how do you know it's Americans? Well, don't they do this all the time? You know, because they automatically think, they've seen like movies like Animal House and stuff like that, so they automatically think that it's Americans coming over here playing a practical joke in the whole nine yards. Not even
Yeah, no.
no.
It's no. I doubt it. It's no Americans playing a practical joke. Not at all.
Right.
Sam, you take care. We're going to zip on to Rick in Illinois. Hey, Rick.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Quite the weekend, huh?
The weekend.
Is going to run for president?
Is who going to run for president?
Oh,
you and I have talked about that. He's going to try to run, absolutely, but he's going to waste a bunch of money because I can't see Newt getting the spot.
Right.
I don't see him getting the nod.
He more or less announced that he's going to run. But then I see Donald Trump said he's going to run now. But I just wondered, are the women really going to vote for him after he dumped his wife for a younger woman?
I don't know. Trump would be interesting because he's charismatic. He's also on the tube doing the crazy apprentice shows and whatever. So mainstream people know him. I don't know that women. No, I don't think so. I disagree. I don't think that women are going to hold some kind of a grudge against Trump. I don't think so. I think he could have an outside chance because he has that one thing, Rick, that people are drawn to, and it's called celebrity. People know that last name.
Yeah.
More than some of these other folks that are trying to run or might run or can't decide or whatever. I'll tell you what, though. He'd have to really, really be a walking soundbite machine. And of course, he could raise the money. I think that wouldn't be a problem. There's the other part of that. The money for him would be easy. And that's part of the deal. When you run for president, you got to shake a lot of hands, kiss a lot of babies, do a lot of fundraising. And that's Trump's specialty. He could clean up, I believe, in the campaign funds. That's a big deal. You got to have and to beat an incumbent president, you have to have a big war chest. So I wouldn't just poo-poo him. I'll tell you what, I almost give him a better shot than Newt Gingrich. You guys might disagree with me. I'll meet you in a few.
Protein powder supplements? I have. And all of them don't taste that good. Have artificial flavors, sweeteners, or unhealthy sugars. About a year ago, I was introduced to a new protein powder that changed my experience. This protein powder made me feel noticeably better, and it tasted more delicious than any drink I've ever had. Here's the experience of one satisfied user named Rich.
The term best of all worlds has been belabored to death.
And yet I've just discovered a whey protein powder that truly deserves to be called best of all worlds. Best taste, by far. Best results, by far. You almost feel like you're cheating, that something that tastes that good could be so good for you. Thank you, Stephen, and Cocoon Nutrition. One World Whey truly is the best of all worlds. The only way for me. Yours truly, Rich from Georgia. Real user, real happy.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Hi, my name's Russ, and after my heart attack, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I needed to keep on working, but now it's becoming a problem. I heard about these garlic cayenne drops and hoped it would help me. Well, I've been taking them for about 4 months, and the way I'm feeling now, I can see how I just might make it to retirement, thanks to Extendivite.
My name's Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, a shout out to In a Pickle, who got to us through the chat saying, you know, this show is headed to Los Angeles at the tail end of the week. I guess I don't have to bring my umbrella. Thanks for the forecast. In a Pickle says sunny and 71 degrees in L.A. But I'm in Los Angeles for a day, then headed to the desert. The desert, of course, is a little bit warmer. And then back to Los Angeles. 70s, 80s, I'll take it. For all of you that are buried in snow right now, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Speaking of being buried, that's what happened to Senator John Ensign. He knew it. He knew that he had no chance out of it. So instead of keeping the digging, you know, let's just keep digging, digging. I'm going to keep trying. He knew it was time to bail, and he bailed. I don't think the Ethics Committee, they may still pursue him, but I'm thinking, yeah, he may get a break there. He might get a break on that one. But the NPR president, who we were just talking about, Vivian Schiller, she's not going to get a break because she mishandled the Juan Williams firing and now is claiming that she mishandled it, that she made a mistake. Williams was fired after he made those remarks on Fox that I was talking about. And what he said specifically is he had anxiety over seeing people dress in Muslim clothing on airplanes. And if you expanded that, I mentioned this already, it didn't sound quite even like that. So she was at the National Press Club in D.C., and she was talking about, oh, everything that NPR is doing and the ways the organization is expanding and getting bigger. But she had to answer a lot of questions on his whole firing last fall. So that is a controversy that's following her, and it's a bad time for that to follow her. 10% is 10%. Could you take 10% out of your individual budgets? All right, Bill, patiently waiting in New York. You have the floor. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Kate, but yes, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Listen, I hate to deviate from your topics this evening, but, you know, certain things came to light in my world this evening, and I just had to, you know, I listen to you all the time, but I just had to put this forth to you. I'm sure you're aware of parts of it, if not all of it, but I'm going to put it together for you real quick. And for the listeners, really, it's I know you have a huge crew of listeners, and I want them to hear this, too. I want to go back real quick and tell you a quick story. A few months ago, if you remember, down in Arizona, outside Nogales, Arizona, a Border Patrol agent named Brian Terry was murdered by some border bandits, okay? It turns out, in the last couple of days, it has come to light that Eric Holder authorized a program utilizing his government branch, the ATF, okay, to take a cache of AK-47s. And allow them to be smuggled / distributed in Mexico, okay? And they wanted to, the purpose behind this was to follow and see where they would lead to and how they actually go through the branches and fall into the hands of the bad guys.
Yes, it was a huge story that somebody just broke the story nationally. It was like CBS or ABC. We talked about it last night, and last night we were talking about that. You're right. It was a huge story that the amount of guns that they released and how ridiculous it was and trailing the guns and what was it going to lead to. Yes.
Well, I could tell you what it led to, okay? And you'll find this on the airwaves, of course, being suppressed, mind you. But it led to the death of Brian Terry. Border Patrol agent Brian Terry, one of the guns, the gun that was used to murder him was one of those guns, and another gun that was retrieved from that operation there with those bad guys was another one of those AK-47s. And I'm just blown away by this. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to look at the big picture here, but I actually share the same profession as this poor fella, and I'm so bothered by this. It's beyond me. Why are we letting this government and this regime or whatever? I've never heard of anything like this. This blows me away.
Wait a second. Let me ask you this, Bill, because this is interesting stuff. You share the same profession, so you're a Border Patrol guy? You're really?
Correct.
Wow. I have a friend that's a Border Patrol agent in El Paso, and he's told me some interesting things. And I think this, too, got under his skin because of the amount of guns being released and what does it mean for the people in Arizona, what does it mean for any of the border states, all that sort of stuff. And so for people who don't know, and you did a good job of describing it, but Brian Terry was shot during a gunfight, and that happened on Tuesday night back in December. And he was in a remote part of the desert trying to track down a bunch of thieves who were supposedly stealing from the illegals.
Right.
But the fact that that gun was used in it, now this is like maybe the second or third, supposedly, second or third gun that has been used that killed an American who's in law enforcement. So what does that tell you?
I know what it tells me. I'm just wondering, you know, I mean, that's exactly right. But this just, it's indicative of what we're dealing with today. What they're allowing, what they're doing. I just don't understand them. It blows me away. I live every day, I listen to news all day long and so on and so forth, and I hear these things and it just kills me. But when I heard this one, of course, this hits home. I would like to hear some sort of justification, which there can't be one, but, I mean, the spin is going to have to be unbelievable, or the flat-out deniability of the whole thing. But, I mean, can you get over that? We send
no,
guns
I think
down there
I,
and
I,
then
when
they
I first
saw
the, when I saw the agent, when I saw the agent talking about the guns originally and saying that he was scared to death and it was keeping up at night and whatnot because he felt like with the release of all these guns to see whose hands they would fall into, and gee, we could nail some big fish in the cartel. He was afraid of that very thing, that, well, these could come back, these guns could come back and kill people in the United States, or they could kill Border Patrol agents, and now this is happening. And of course, what do you have the Justice Department saying? Like you mentioned Eric Holder, oh, well, we're going to investigate that, and we're not going to do that. We're not going to continue. We're not going to continue that program. There's no way we would continue that program. Well, gee, really, after the fact? See, once again, it's after the fact. And as you're saying, there are people talking about it, but I guess they're not talking so much about tracing the guns and who's killed with the guns that we've released, that the government has released, basically. I guess that's the part that you're saying isn't being brought up very much.
Well, it's really not. You know what? Nobody's actually bringing up the big picture here, which
right.
is the idiocy where this whole thing stemmed from, the genesis of it all. I mean, how hard is, and you know what, this kind of just reminds me of the stupidity, like with these politicians messing around and getting caught. You know, I'm sorry, this is a new age. I mean, where everybody is pretty self-aware and stuff. How hard was it to sit there and say, hey, I got an idea, let's smuggle guns into Mexico and see where it goes? I mean, did nobody in that room, did no light bulb go on and somebody say, wait a second, that's a stupid idea. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I agree with you. I agree with you. This is what we constantly say on America Tonight. You follow, here we're talking about the ATF allowing the flow of guns into Mexico, but it's just another stupid thing that has happened, especially if we wanted to just focus, Bill, on the border and what's happening along the flow of drugs and guns and everything else that goes back and forth. It's asinine, absolutely. I mean, you know, it was CBS News, I think, that broke the story, and the agent looked just racked, and I don't blame him because I'm sure this is the end of his career. But he was saying, you know, he was ordered to let the guns in, and he didn't doing it deliberately, he thought was a huge mistake, but he had no... You know, he wasn't one of the top brass. He was just another guy on the chain link, you know, way down. And that's what they did. It's ridiculous. So how many more possible deaths could they link to people in the U.S. or Border Patrol agents or who knows?
I heard that, by the way, I mean, if you think about this. First of all, I heard that the way this whole thing kind of not broke, but mind you, but some of the things that happened during it were somebody got a phone call from a dealer that said, this is unusual. We don't usually have people buying 500 plus AK-47. And so when they reported that, of course, you know, we're in control of the ATF, and we're in control of that. And I'll let you go in a second here, but just as a final note there, I feel terrible for that agent, and that, by gosh, I don't know if he is enough, but if you were listening, you know, I don't hold this against him at all. You know, we all got to feed our families. And when it comes down from up top, you just got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely. Good call, Bill. Call us again. And, you know, that program was, they had a name for it, was called Fast and Furious. And as he's saying, letting the guns walk into Mexico, into the hands of criminals who would use them in Mexico and the United States, just completely asinine.